Hi, I'm Naomi. I'm 36. I was on the fence about pregnancy and all I heard was, who'll look after you when you're old? And don't you feel like you're letting your parents down by not giving them grandkids? Now I'm pregnant though, it's your relationship will never be the same, you know. Yeah, I do know, thanks. But despite deciding to baby, there's still so much more to find out from both camps. So here's a podcast on the Secret Recordings Network where I chat to baby wanters, baby rejectors and everything in between to see why we decide to baby or not to baby. In this episode, I chat to mum of two, Charlotte, who's currently pregnant as a surrogate.
Don't get me wrong, I hate being pregnant. I'm the worst at being pregnant. I don't even know why I want to do this, but it's a gift. You know, I've got the joy of having kids, and lucky for me, I've had no issues. But I've seen people who do have issues, and it's heartbreaking.
And I'm joined on this journey by my sister and best friend in the world, Camilla.
Hola! Señorita!
Oh no. To start with, I was like, she's not made it offensive, and then she made it offensive.
Oh, sorry.
No.
I was going to do that song. I said, hola, ¿cómo está? She said, konnichiwa.
If this is your first podcast episode you've ever listened to, it's because Camilla ran out of ways to say hello and so was going on an international tip.
Yeah, and we have listeners in Portugal, so I thought hola was fitting.
That's true. Well, we will no longer have listeners in Portugal thanks to this. So,
stop saying this. They'll be really pleased that we've embraced the language. We need to find out what to baby or not is in
true
several languages.
Now, I want to talk to you about pregnancy dreams because we were chatting the other day and discovered that we both had the exact same quite weird pregnancy dream.
Yes, I'm wondering if it's a common thing.
Well, this is why I want to talk about it, in case this is a thing that everyone has. Now, I think it is quite common, according to my trusty pregnancy app, that you have a lot of weird dreams during pregnancy. And I think it's probably because you sleep maybe a little bit lighter because you're waking up because you need a wee all the time, or you've got sciatica or both. So I had this dream where the baby's head, so the baby's inside my tummy and the baby's head like popped out, like, so with the skin around it. Is that how it was in your dream, Mill?
Exactly the same. I could just see all its features, its nose, its mouth coming out of my belly.
Yes, but in my dream, so it was the whole face was literally like reaching out with all my skin stretching around it, and it was really freaky.
Yeah,
but also its tiny hand reached out and touched me on the face.
Oh,
and it sounds so weird and like a weird alien thing that before I was pregnant, if somebody had told me they had that dream, I'd be like, oh, that sounds so creepy and freaky. It was
no,
so
I think it sounds nice.
It made me excited to meet the baby.
Oh, Naomi, I love it.
It was literally
it makes me really happy.
It was literally
like, yeah, you're right. It does sound a bit weird, like something out of Alien.
It sounds awful. But it was
actually the thought of your baby trying to reach for your face, whether it's in your tummy or not, is just such a, oh my God. There's nothing better than your own baby's like touch. Oh,
but that's what I mean. And obviously I have no idea.
It's actually making me a bit emotional.
Yeah, but it did me when I woke up from the dream. I felt really like, oh, it was weird. And I feel like the pair of us sound like a right pair of wet blankets now, but it made me feel like, so already I feel like I love the baby so much, even though it is just like a squiggly little alien in my belly. But it made me feel like, oh my God, the baby loves me and is excited to meet me.
Oh,
is that ridiculous?
Yeah. No, not at all. Not at all. I used to have a dream when I was young, like really young, about a baby hanging on to me, used to really hug me tight.
Oh.
It was a really bizarre dream to have, but I used to love it. I think it's one of the reasons I used to think, oh, I need to be a mum.
True. And this is why I didn't have that, because I never had that dream as a child. But now I'm in the weird alien baby dream world and bang up for it. So please explain the situation. So you describe it as you are pregnant with your friend's baby and this is a surrogate scenario.
Yes. So I'm currently being a surrogate. I like to call it rent a womb. It's something that's been on the top of my bucket list for many years. And I've got a lovely friend called Heidi, who has unfortunately lost two little boys of her own. There's nothing wrong with her actual eggs. She just can't carry babies. She's always wanted to be a mum. She was looking into other options, and surrogacy was one of the options that she was looking at. And it just so happens that she knew me, who wanted to be a surrogate. So we got talking, and one thing led to another. And before you know it, her and her partner have got me pregnant.
Now, I love the way you say it. Like, this thing was top of my bucket list for a while.
Yeah.
How on earth do you end up in a situation where that is something that you go, I have to do this. I really want to do this.
You know what? I don't know. But it is something that I have thought about for many years. It's not, you know, someone's just come up to me and said, oh, we have my baby. And I've gone, yeah, all right then. This is something that I've planned for so many years. I've watched documentaries. I've read articles. It's something that I've always thought about. You know, I'm a mother myself. And when you get that urge to want a child, it takes over your life, and there's nothing else that matters in the whole world until you get that child. And what a gift I can give to somebody else. That's the way I look at it.
But what a kind of breathtaking, refreshing way of looking at it, because actually pregnancy and the toll it takes on your body when you're doing it for yourself can be quite extreme. So to offer your body effectively to somebody else to say, I will do this and I will go through all of this on your behalf, I have so much admiration for you.
Yeah, like people keep saying, oh my God, it's a massive thing. You're doing, you know, it's such a massive thing. But to me, it's just like, yeah, okay, yeah, I'll just do it. I mean, don't get me wrong. I hate being pregnant. I'm the worst at being pregnant. I don't even know why I want to do this. But it's a gift. You know, I've got the joy of having kids. And lucky for me, I've had no issues. But I've seen people who do have issues, and it's heartbreaking. And if there's something I can do about it, then I'll try my hardest to do it. And, you know, this is the most important job I'll probably ever have and ever will do.
So I'll talk to you a bit more about your pregnancies and your experience of being a mum with your own children and how that kind of differs now. But also, it's not even just the surrogacy thing, because am I right in thinking that you have donated your eggs as well?
Yes. It was probably about 2 years ago now I donated my eggs as well. I kept hearing on the radio adverts, you know, they need more egg donors. And I thought, oh, that's a bit like surrogacy. I could do that. So I started looking into it and I ended up doing that as well.
So when you say you looked into it, like how much did you look into it? Because like, how does that process even work?
So you go on your hormone treatment. So it's injections and all that kind of stuff. And then they retrieve the eggs and put them into somebody else. And that the eggs that I donated, they did actually have a baby boy. So that's nice.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Because that's another thing with, if you're a donor, then nowadays, am I right in thinking that the child has a right to know who you are and vice versa, or what are the rules around it?
Yeah, so it's all completely anonymous when they're choosing their eggs. I suppose it's the same with if you're choosing a sperm donor.
Yeah.
And it goes more off like height, eye colour, hair colour, all that kind of stuff.
I love the fact that it went off hair colour, and you are the one person who has had more hair colours in her life than anyone I've ever known.
Yeah, hair colour, every single colour in the world.
Hair colour, rainbow.
Yeah, I think I actually put, because you can write like a bio a bit about yourself, and I think I actually put something about original hair colour, brown, currently pink or something like that, you know. Every colour under the sun. So I wrote a bit about my creativity, that I used to do dancing and love performing and all that kind of stuff. Then they can choose whether to read into that or not. That's their choice.
So first off, the physical side of it. So, you know, doing the injections and everything, I imagine, is akin to what you would go through if you were putting your body through IVF. Is that right?
Yes. So I went through a similar process getting ready for to do the surrogacy.
Yeah.
And obviously the mother went through the same process as what I did when I was donating my egg.
Yeah. course. Because from anyone I know who's gone through IVF, even that first bit, the injections and the toll it can take on your body physically is pretty intense.
Yeah. And, you know, doing that first injection, because obviously I've never done anything like that, getting a needle and stabbing it into your body is like, I don't want to do this. This is weird. I shouldn't be doing this. Why am I doing this? And to get that, to do that first one, oh my God, it was so hilarious. And I had my sister in the room as well, who was scared of needles. So she was like having more of a panic attack than me. I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. But then as soon as I got that first one out the way, I was like, oh, okay, because it didn't really hurt. I think it's just more the shock of doing it, like, why am I stabbing myself?
Yeah, why am I doing this to my body?
Yeah, when they actually take the eggs out, I had quite a high number of eggs. They got a lot of good quality eggs out of me, which was good. But the more they get, the worse it is afterwards. So I was like, okay, quite bad afterwards. And it was very bruised and uncomfortable for quite a while.
Yeah, when you say you were quite bad afterwards, like, in what sense? What was it like?
Yeah, so the next couple of days I was really groggy. I suppose, you know, when you've been, because you're not put under, but you're what they call sedated. But I mean, I don't remember a thing.
Yeah.
It's almost like being under. So when I sort of came round, you know, I was very groggy and just felt a bit rubbish. And then for the next, I'd say probably a couple of weeks, felt very bruised down below. So that was uncomfortable.
And were you expecting that? Like, did you know that that's how you were going to feel?
When you're going through the process, they sort of say this and say that, but not, it never ever put me off or think, oh, I'm not going to do it. Because, yeah, and especially with the egg donation, it's like your monthly period cycle. It only takes that month, you know, it's not a long process.
Yeah.
So it's just like a monthly cycle. So what's a month out of my life to give someone else a lifetime of joy of having a child?
Dan, please can you tell me what you've got in your Amazon basket currently?
Currently in the Amazon basket, two things. One is some little corner protectors, because I keep whacking my knee on the corner of the bath, and obviously I don't want to be doing that with a little baby. Secondly, it might be some aromatherapy oils, which hopefully we are going to be good for you going into labour, because they say you've got to kind of recreate the kind of mood of being in a nice environment to get your oxytocin going. This is what all the books have been saying, so you know.
Yeah, they have been saying that. And I said to you, I want some clary sage and possibly lavender oil. How many aromatherapy oils exactly are in this set?
I think there's like 20. You've got to experiment, haven't you, with what's your personal blend?
So obviously now that you're at a point in the pregnancy where you look like you're pregnant, where you're out and about and people have congratulated you, and you have to be like, oh, well.
Yeah. So when some people are like, oh, congratulations. Well, thanks, but it's not actually my baby. I sort of look at you like, sorry, what? So, yeah, it has been, it's weird to try and explain.
Yeah, what is the reaction when you tell people?
I'm just like, oh. And it's like, it's weird. Cause, yeah, right at the beginning, before we even got pregnant and was going through the whole process, and if people asked me what was going on and stuff like that, and I did get a lot of sort of like negative comments, and it did get me quite down at one point. You know, if I told someone, oh, I wanted to be a surrogate, I'd be like, oh, how could you give a baby away? Well, it's not my baby. Do you know what I mean? Why would I keep someone else's baby?
So obviously you knew that your friend was having these kind of fertility struggles, and you have a conversation where you're like, okay, let's do this. How does that go? Because that's quite a big, serious conversation.
Yeah. So how it originally came about. So my mum is a hairdresser, and she does Heidi's hair, who is the mum to the baby. Obviously, my mum knows I wanted to do it. I've been through her losing both of her boys. And I think she was just talking to my mum about it. And my mum was sort of like nudging her and pushing her. I've said, you know, have you asked Charlotte? And I think she was like, oh. And then them two started talking about it. And mum was like, yeah, she'll do it. You know, don't worry about it. You know, just ask her. I can't even remember how Heidi first sort of approached me, but it was, I didn't even think about it. Because really, I wanted, yeah, I've always wanted to do this for a long time, but it's something you do when you've finished having your own children. And I don't think I've finished having my own children. I do want more. But because it's someone who I know and it's my friend, I didn't batter an eyelid. Do you know what I mean? It was like, yeah, of course I'll do it for you.
That is amazing. So you've had that conversation and you've said to her, absolutely, 100%, I want to do it. How many times did she do the, are you sure?
Probably a lot of times.
And so from the moment that you said, yes, I want to do this for you, what was the logistical process of then actually doing it?
Yeah, so we had a lot of meetings about what would happen, how it would happen. There's different agencies and stuff that would help you out with all the legal things. And
yeah, how did it work? Because if you knew each other already and you've decided to do this, do you have to then, is there like a legal route that you have to take to do it? Or?
Yeah, so you have to do a surrogacy agreement. So there was, a lot of talks about that, of how it's all going to happen and everything, parental rights. And the way it's sort of run over here, I don't believe in a lot of it. I think the laws need to change big time.
In what sense? Why?
So on the birth certificate, I will be classed as the mother. Well, I'm not the mother. Heidi is, which I think is wrong.
Yeah.
They can't apply for a parental order, so like adoption, for 6 weeks afterwards, which again, I'm not the mother of the child.
That's
so it's
bonkers.
Not my, yeah. So there's just a lot of things we was worried about. There's so much bad press about surrogacy, and every program and TV show, everything about surrogacy, it always shows the negative side, which is why we trying to want to promote it in a positive way.
So you are mum to a 10-year-old and a 3-year-old.
Yep.
What do they make of it?
Oh, they love it. I mean, Brooke, who's 10, she's amazing. I mean, I don't know what I'd do without her, to be honest, at the minute. She looks after me and helps me with the younger one, and she is brilliant. And she remembers everything that I went through with the egg donation as well. And, you know, she thinks it's great.
What an amazing thing to be able to show her as well.
Yeah.
Like for her perspective on people having children, that's going to be such a broader view than most people's kind of stereotypical view of this is what it looks like to have a baby.
Yeah. And we've always had a very open and honest relationship. I like to, be as truthful as I can with them. So yeah, Everything's always been set down from the beginning. She knows exactly what's going on and everything like that. Obviously, it's a bit more difficult with the younger one, but he knows, he'll look at the bump and he'll go, oh, that's Heidi's baby in there. So he knows it's not our baby. He knows it's not his brother or sister. He knows it's Heidi's.
So you said that obviously you don't love being pregnant. So what were your pregnancies like with...
Yeah, for a woman, I'm not very good at hormones. I've never mastered the hormones. Brooke's pregnancy wasn't actually that bad. Fox, with my youngest, so he's 3 now, was horrendous. I was so massive, and from so early on, I think I had a bump at 9 weeks with him. It was literally just there, like, hello. With my first, it's sort of waited a while, and I swear I just woke up one morning, pulled back the covers, and I looked down and there was a bump. It just like literally came overnight. Towards the end, I couldn't even walk.
Yeah.
Like really bad with the pelvis and that. And then with this one, with it all being artificial, we knew exactly the transfer date. We knew exactly when the egg was fertilised. As soon as we had the transfer, within about a week, I started showing. I was like, yeah, it's definitely worked. And I've had terrible morning sickness with this one, worse than any of my two. So it has been a completely different pregnancy than with my own children, which is weird. But then again, it's not my egg. Do you know what I mean? So it would, that's probably why it's different. But yeah, I've had terrible morning sickness.
Are there any days that you've thought, why am I doing this?
No, because,
honestly, it's...
No matter how many times I've been sick, just thinking about how happy Heidi and Andy are is just everything that takes me through.
How far along did you wait until you did the pregnancy test to check this is dead? Because I know that you're saying, oh, you know, I'm looking and I'm feeling it and I'm like, yes, I'm pregnant. But at what stage did you actually then do the pregnancy test?
Right, so you do your pregnancy test 2 weeks after transfer and then you wait another 3 weeks for your scan.
And when you did the test, how did the feeling differ for you seeing the positive on this test versus your own children? Or did it not?
I don't know. Yeah, no, it did. And through the whole process, it's weird because I'm happy to be pregnant for those and I'm obviously got a connection to the baby, but it's not a motherly maternal connection. So it's a weird thing, like, you know, waiting to do the test and she's all nervous and all this. And you can imagine she's anxious anyway because this is a big, big thing for her. You know, she's already lost two babies.
Did you do the test together?
Yep, we were all together.
Yay! Oh.
We were all together. I went round their house, went upstairs, did the test, didn't look at it, brought it downstairs.
Yeah.
She's got the timer on and she's waiting and she's tapping legs and Andy's sat in the corner just looking at Heidi like, oh my God. And I'm there, I'm like crying already, like, oh my God, I don't know what to do with myself. You know, Heidi was like, oh my God, oh my God. And then we all was hugging and was crying. I was like, I can't believe it. And I was like, oh, you know, thank God for that, the relief.
She's bloody mad, isn't she? But in the best possible way.
Mad as a box of frogs. Love her. Love her.
But obviously we're talking about finding out how you were pregnant. How did you find out you were pregnant?
Well, really early on, because I took a test far before I needed to. You know, it says wait till however many days before your period or the day you've missed your period. And I was like, nah, not doing that. And genuinely, when I took the test for Chester, I did not think I was pregnant.
See, and with me, it was when we went to Nottingham to record the podcast and we went to McDonald's for lunch and loads of people around us had had a stomach bug. And I felt a bit ropey that day. And I ordered my regular McDonald's order, which was McDonald's nuggets and chips and a literal shit ton of barbecue sauce. And I'm eating my nuggets in this barbecue sauce. I'm feeling really sick. And like, I'm like, I don't even think I can finish these six nuggets. And I thought, it must be because I'm getting this sickness bug. It can't be because I'm pregnant. And the next day, I still felt awful. So I went to Tesco and I bought, I don't know if you've seen them, you get these like little paper sticks that you have to wee in your own pot, weed in a little glass jar, formerly home to a candle. And because I had to get something that was like almost
washed it out, shot the candle back in.
Shot glass size. Didn't do it in the shot glasses. If you come to my house for shots, it's safe, it's fine. I did it in the candle one. Put the paper in, and it was very, very obviously pregnant.
Perfect.
Mm. Found out all thanks to a McDonald's nugget. How do you manage it? How often do you communicate? Obviously, there'll be things like you feeling the first bits of movement that Heidi and Andy must want to be a part of. So how do you mesh all that together?
I know. And it's really hard. Like, I went through this stage of feeling really guilty. And she, and I think from her point of view, she was really excited. Like, oh my God, have you felt the baby move yet? And I hadn't.
Yeah.
But in my head, I was like, I kind of don't want to because I feel guilty for feeling it and not her.
Oh, yeah.
And that was really hard. But, you know, I talked to her about it and she was like, oh, you know, absolutely not. Don't feel guilty. You know, I'm just excited that the baby's moving or, you know, excited to feel it. And obviously with lockdown at the minute, things have been more difficult than usual. If we didn't have lockdown, we would have spent a lot more time together.
Yeah.
But she has been over and felt the baby move and all that because he's so active. He's more active than ever, than my two ever were. He really boots me. God, sometimes when he moves, he did a lot of rolling around. Sometimes it made me like nearly pass out because it was, you know, when you get that sort of rush of adrenaline, I was like, ooh, I'm going to faint.
Has Heidi talked to you? Because does she feel like she's potentially missing out on the experience of pregnancy, do you think?
I don't know. I hope not. actually I say that, but she has been getting a lot of the pregnancy symptoms, which is a real thing, you know. If you're close to someone, or obviously this is her baby, you do have like a phantom pregnancy. And she has been getting pregnancy symptoms and stuff. So I'm loving it. I'm like, yeah, I'm loving it. And even Andy, the dad, has been getting them as well. So I'm like, yeah, this is evening it out. I like this.
Oh, yeah, that's good. I was going to say, I wish I could tag some of my symptoms onto Dan to be like, yeah, now you know how it feels when I'm feeling rough.
And it's like, you know, you're up in the middle of the night and thinking, oh my God, which baby grows do I need to buy? Or what bottle? You know, you have that sort of like manic preparation stage, which it's quite easy for me because, yeah, I'm pregnant, but I've got nothing to worry about. It's quite chill. You know, I ain't got to worry about how the nursery looks or what bottles I need or what names I need to name him. Whereas she's waking up at 3 a.m. thinking, have I got the right bottle? Have I, you know, is blue going to be okay in the nursery? Or so she's still having all of those motherly instincts.
Yeah. Are you, have you planned how the kind of birth situation will go? Because again, I imagine that, well, hopefully by the time you have baby, lockdown won't be the same, but I imagine that adds a bit of a spanner in the works, does it not?
So we've actually been, well, Hayley's been in contact with the main matron at the LRI, who's been absolutely fantastic, and met with us a couple of times. And we've actually just booked in our meeting to go through the birth plan with the scans as well. Obviously, you know, recently there's only been allowed the mother, which is obviously the pregnant woman, into the scan. Well, I'm not the mother, but luckily, because we've been in talks, you know, with the hospital and everything, they know everything that's going on. For our 20-week scan, me and the mum, Hayley, both got to go into the scan. So that was really nice.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah, it's, you know, so we're really pleased with how they've, you know, been treating us, because it is a special case. It's not just your usual, you know, oh, well, only the mother's allowed in. Well, yeah, well, that's not me.
That's not me.
I'm pregnant, but that's not me.
Yeah. So what is the plan for the birth then?
Well, since the beginning, I've sort of said to them, you know, I'm your puppet. I will do whatever you say. This is your child. You know, if you want me to turn vegan, then I will. If you want me to only wear the colour purple, then I will, you know. This is because people go crazy when they become parents, you know. It's this, I was like, just do whatever. But they've both been amazing from the beginning, and she's gone, look, you know what you're doing. You've had two yourself, you know, you know, we trust in what you're doing. So they've had that trust in me as well, so that's really nice. And with the birth, she says, you know, you're the one who's got to do it. You do what you want. But even with my own, my birth plan has always been go with the flow, because you can plan so much, but you can't plan so much as well. You know, things happen, and both my births have been completely different.
In what sense?
Oh, so Brooke was 14 and a half hours. She was long, and it was horrible. And then Fox was like so easy peasy. I had two paracetamol at the beginning because they made me, and I was just calm and relaxed and just breathed through the whole thing and more or less did it all on my own, and I was absolutely fine. He was out in a couple of hours.
Can I book me one of those, please?
This is the thing, you know, if you just, I know this is like the weirdest thing and the most stupidest thing to say to a pregnant woman, but you know, if you just relax and breathe, it doesn't hurt. And it's just, it's nice. You just have to get into the zone.
Yeah.
And there was a point.
One of the things that I'm worried about is that my friends keep saying to me, but you're a yoga teacher and you do yoga all the time, so you'll be fine. You're used to breathing through things. And I'm like, yes, I'm used to breathing through the pain of my thigh muscles hurting a bit when I'm trying to hold warrior pose for a long time, not breathing through the pain of birth.
That's the thing. And you know what? There was a point when I was having Fox, and I was in the zone, I was fine, I was, you know, breathing, I was really relaxed. And then I sort of remember sort of like coming out of the zone, I call it the zone.
Yeah.
coming round a bit more and like looking around and thinking, oh, this is starting to hurt. You know, because I'd gone out of that relaxed state, but luckily I managed to get myself back in it. So I'm a big believer of if you just relax and breathe, you're fine. That's my top tip.
really easy, and I fear that potentially it's not going to be quite so straightforward. But okay, I think of you when I'm trying to get in the zone.
Yeah.
How many of you are allowed in the birth room? Like, let's imagine that the lockdown situation's over, say, by the time you're giving birth. Like, how many people are you allowed in there? You know, can you have somebody of your choosing, or will you just have those guys with you? Or
right, so I think maybe I could have had someone and those two, but I'm not bothered about having anyone else. I'm just happy having it those two, because it's not my birth. Do you know what I mean? It's not my thing. I don't want to gate crash with someone who I know. This is their birth and their child.
I just read somebody's birth plan where they wanted the nursing staff and midwifery teams to also participate in their nakedness. So mom is naked, dad is naked, nursing and midwifery team's naked. I would just like to point out now, I definitely don't want that. I know you said that there were a few people who would go, oh, you know, why would you want to do that? But was there anyone around you who said, I don't know if being a surrogate is a good idea?
Yes, lots of people.
Really?
And you can't just go up to the doctor and go, hey, I want to be a surrogate. Obviously there's tests and things you have to go through, and mental health is one of those things. And because I've had previous depression and things like that, obviously they're going to look at that and analyze that and say whether that's acceptable or not. And you know, for a period of time they were seriously looking into it, and they didn't know whether it was going to be okay or not. But Heidi was with me through that period of time, and she's seen me at my worst, she's seen me depressed, and she wasn't worried about it, so that made me not worry about it.
Yeah.
And I knew it was down to the situation I was in and not down to pregnancy. Obviously pregnancy made it a hell of a lot worse.
Yeah.
Because of the hormones. But yeah, you know, I'm here and I'm pregnant, and I've proved that it's not pregnancy that made me depressed, it was the situation I was in.
Do you know what's kind of interesting about it is, and I totally understand why they have to do it, because they have to protect you, they have to protect Heidi, and they have to protect the potential baby that's coming into all this as well.
Yeah.
But for people outside of that situation, you just get pregnant willy-nilly. It doesn't matter what mental health problems you've had in the past, or what other circumstances are going on. No one kind of puts you through this test of, are you fit to be a parent?
I know, yeah.
And so, of course, I completely understand why that happens. And actually, maybe the rest of us should. I mean, I went through my own soul searching process, did a whole podcast about it, so I feel like I'm good. But do you know what I mean? Like, so many people go into it without considering, what are the repercussions of other things about my personality and my life that might potentially impact on me or the baby?
Yeah.
And they just do it. They don't think.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I know it's hard. But it was frustrating, because you, in yourself, you know that you're fine and that you can do it. And it was almost like my past is now affecting my future. And it's just, you know, why can I not move on from that?
Yeah.
Because I was in a good place and everything else. But we got the go ahead, obviously, and here we are. So everything worked out fine in the end. Yeah.
So well, after baby arrives, and I don't even want to say gets handed over, because I feel like even that's kind of not really the thing. But what next? What does life look like for you guys post baby arrival?
Yeah. So obviously me and Heidi are friends anyway. So it's not like we're never going to see each other. We will still be in each other's lives. And obviously this whole experience has brought us closer together.
Yeah.
So we're always going to be close. And, you know, she's fine with me being a part of the baby's life, and I'm fine with being a part of the baby's life, because it's her baby. I'm never going to feel like, oh, that's my child, because it's not.
Amazing. What a woman. Like, I know I said it in the interview, but I am so in admiration of the fact that you can hand over your body effectively for 9 months and go, yeah, look, I know that you're struggling with this fertility thing over here. Let me do that bit for you.
She's an absolute breath of fresh air. Like, and actually, like, prior to this interview, I watched her blog on donating her eggs. Now, she's also known, Charlotte's nickname is Bizzle. B-I-Z-Z-L-E, Bizzle. And if you go on YouTube and put in Bizzle egg donation, it's the top video, and she's so funny, but it's such an intense thing. Like, you'd think that egg donation wouldn't be that intense, but It really is. And the blog's brilliant.
It is full on. I was going to say, actually, so if you listen to this and you've gone, oh my God, that sounds amazing, I would love to do that. We are doffing our caps to you if that is the case. But if you want to look into egg donation, the best source that I could seem to find was hfea.gov.uk, which is the Human Fertilisation and Embryology Authority. So there's loads of advice on there about how to go about giving eggs and what that involves. So if you want to become an egg donor, hfea.gov.uk. And then for surrogacy, surrogacy.org.uk/surrogates. And again, it's all explained of how you do it. But wow, flipping heroes.
Massive heroes. Yeah. To be honest, it's not something that I were to discount.
I can imagine you doing it, you know.
I think probably not the surrogacy bit. If I have another pregnancy like Chester's, because it was really hard, I'm not sure I could do it. But the egg donation, I would definitely give it a whirl, I think. Once I've had my children, a bit like Charlotte said, mind you, she says she's not done, is she? She's going to be having more sproglets.
She's not done. I think I'm going to be too old to donate eggs, you know.
And I might be by a certain age, I guess.
Yeah, obviously you've got a bit on me, but I don't think anybody wants my little old eggs.
Oh, I'd take your old eggs, babe. Just the yolks, I don't like the whites.
Follow my journey and tell us about your own on social media. We are at To Baby or Not. If you rate and review this podcast, not only will it massively help us out, but it will guarantee that nothing, including pregnancy, will ever put you off your McDonald's chicken nuggets.
Next time on To Baby or Not To Baby.
I hadn't let it be a surprise. I'd said, you know, well, mummy's getting worse. And so when I walked in, we both were suddenly able to breathe in a, you know what, mummy's not suffering anymore.